Talking the best in local and regional sports.
We just got to stop that little inside trap. You know, the option didn't hurt us much. We played pretty hard. We just got to stop that inside thing. Offensively, we kind of sputtered around. Got the ball in the end zone.
It's Press Row on Chattanooga's sports leader, ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Oh, we're going to go play. We just got to keep playing.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is enjoying this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. It is a pleasure to welcome into Press Row for the very first time, Kian Fahey. If you guys, if you want to know about quarterbacks, this is the most thorough guy on the planet when it comes to quarterbacks. You can find out more about his stuff at presnapreads.com. Kian Fahey. Kian, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm all right at quarterback. Not so great with time difference right now. I completely forgot that the clock's changed where you are. I was expecting you to do this in an hour. I'm here now, so.
Well, that was a nice audible. Good adjustment there. All right, I guess one of the things we can start off with, I saw on Twitter today where you responded to a USA Today report saying that the AAF may be folding sooner than later. Can you kind of explain what's going on there?
I didn't dive too far into it, but the general idea seemed to be that the AAF wanted NFL players, young NFL players. I assume they think at the bottom of the roster, maybe practice squad guys, maybe guys who have signed a future contract because there's no chance they're getting actual NFL players. But the idea seemed to be that they need NFL players to supplement the league and keep it going because they can't afford to keep going without them. And that, if that's a part of your business model, you just did not have the vision to be successful because there's no chance that the NFL is ever going to give you players to play in games where they might get hurt because that's going to detract from their own product later in the year. So either they're going to figure that out on their own, but they're definitely not going to get players from the NFL.
All right, you watch countless hours of footage. You have all these different metrics and rankings. I think one of the most curious ones, especially where we're located, halfway between Atlanta and Nashville, is the fact that when you look at the depth-adjusted accuracy rankings of NFL quarterbacks, you've got Andrew Luck number one, but you've got Marcus Mariota two and Matt Ryan three. I think a lot of people would be surprised to see Marcus Mariota two. Can you kind of talk about what goes into that and why he does so well in that?
Well, depth-adjusted accuracy, so I have a big completion percentage. Completion percentage is just a raw number. Just one track. It's just tracks where you accurate, or was the ball caught on display? Was it not caught? It doesn't tell you how far you threw the ball downfield. It doesn't tell you if the receiver caught it or not. It doesn't tell you if the spike or if the throwaway or if the pass is tipped to the line of scrimmage. Basically, it's used as a representation of accuracy when it's not an actual representation of accuracy. So I used to track just accuracy, where I would take out the plays where the receiver dropped the ball, I would take out plays where the quarterback threw the ball away on purpose, and I would get a better number. And since after doing that, my next step was to go to depth-adjusted accuracy. So what I did was I take the similar to what happens in the NBA, where Steph Curry makes a three-pointer, it's treated differently to LaMarcus Aldridge hitting a two-pointer, so you get the extra credit for hitting that third extra point. So I looked at plays that were thrown short, were given a value for being short. Plays that were thrown intermediate were giving a value for being intermediate. Basically, what it means is if you threw the ball 3 yards downfield, it wasn't as valuable as you throwing the ball 30 yards downfield. For Marcus Mariota, he was actually hugely accurate on deep throws. He didn't throw the ball deep that often, but when he did, he was very accurate. And the problem was he had receivers dropping the ball too often. Taywan Taylor was a big part of that. And when you have receivers dropping your deep passes regularly, the perception of how accurate you are is huge because everyone remembers when you hit a 60 or 70-yard play. No one remembers when you hit a 60 or 70-yard play and someone drops it.
Where would you rank Mariota? I mean, using everything that you know, I mean, is he a 11 to 15 kind of quarterback, 16 to 20? Where would you kind of peg him?
I think I had him 8th or 9th, actually.
The
thing with Mariota is, that's probably a high ranking to a lot of people, but you've got to look at the supporting cast there. Like, is it Josh Klein who was at left guard? Whichever the guard.
It was actually me, Kian. It was me. I played left guard for the Titans last year.
Really? Am I just being harsh to someone now? No, I feel bad. No, it's not just – there was different – there's all sorts of elements there. Like, they just brought in Adam Humphries as a receiver. I feel like that's a big upgrade as well. It didn't feel like the pass protection there was good enough as a whole. They were changing scheme as well, which is also a big issue. But the Corey Davis there was a stud. Delaney Walker went out early. He's not someone who's that effective. And now I've moved away completely about talking to the offensive line, so I'm not trying to insult anyone.
All right, Kian, I want to ask you about the top two quarterbacks that most everybody expects to be taken, Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins. Your thoughts on those two?
Kyler Murray, I understand why people like him. I understand he's got kind of big playability. He's that the height thing is a big problem. That's not something I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, but it is going to affect him. He's going to have to play a certain way to avoid missing receivers up in the middle. He's going to have to create with his legs. He's going to have to create big plays on deep throws. I think he's got a chance to be a good player. I think there are comparables there to Russell Wilson. It's all about how many negative plays can offset how many positive plays can offset the negative plays that are going to be inevitable. I'm okay with someone drafting him. I'm not going to draft him first overall and say he's my star. I'm going to, if someone offers me multiple first round picks for that spot, I'd probably trade back rather than take him. Haskins is not someone I was excited by. Like, he does a lot of good. He's an anticipation passer. He goes through progressions. He moves relatively well in the pocket. But his ball placement is just, it's terrible. It reminded me of Zach Mettenberger, where everyone's constantly making adjustments at the catch point, or he's just missing receivers wide open completely. So I'm not really excited about the prospect of taking him in the top 10 or top 15. If you want to take him in the second round as a development guy, sure. Take him in the first round, I wouldn't feel comfortable doing it.
The old Mettenberger comparison, that's pretty poignant. You're not mixing anything up with that one, are you?
Mettenberger failed for a variety of reasons. He came into the league with a torn ACL. Titans fans will know because he was there, obviously. But it's just, I don't feel like a quarterback gets that biggest strides forward in his ball placement and his accuracy. So it's not something I'm going to buy into and develop him that way. Cardale Jones came into the league from Ohio State as well, has never gotten better with his accuracy, and that's been his big challenge as well, to moving up from being a third-string quarterback to being a primary backup. So I just don't think there's a development path forward, especially now you mentioned the AAF. Without a development league, it's very hard for these guys to actually get better when they're taking 50 preseason snaps every year, and that's it. It's not viable.
You're listening to Kian Fahey with PreSnapReads.com. He studies a whole lot of quarterbacks, as you can obviously tell by now. You're listening to Kian here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Kian, you're an amazing follower on Twitter, and I subscribe to your site, and I'm a big fan of your work. If you want to follow him on Twitter, he is at CIANAF. What did you get more blowback from, calling Dwayne Haskins the Black Zach Mettenberger, or telling everybody that Lamar Jackson is way better than everybody knows?
Oh, I just have to say Lamar Jackson's name and I get a wall of abuse. Lamar Jackson. So I went through Lamar Jackson's whole season, because Jackson, again, when I talk about completion percentage versus accuracy, his accuracy is a lot better. And the funny thing for me is, anytime I say anything about Jackson and say how good he was as a rookie, everyone says, oh, you're just defending your draft position. But I didn't like him coming out of college. I thought he was too inaccurate. I didn't think he was as calm and composed as he proved to be in his rookie season. So I thought he was a big step forward as a rookie compared to what he showed in college, and obviously all the other stuff is there. The one interesting thing to me with him right now, though, is his deep ball. Like, they didn't throw the ball deep that often. I think he had 8 deep throws in total last year, and when he did throw it, it wasn't very good, which is weird because in college his deep ball was phenomenal. So it's something to watch. It's going to be a fascinating thing to watch him versus Baker. It feels unfair because Baker has Odell Beckham and Lamar Jackson has who? Michael Crabtree? I don't even know.
Right. Again, it's me. I'm playing right guard for Lamar Jackson. All right, you mentioned it. If you're Baker Mayfield, and because not only you now watch so much film of these quarterbacks, you see guys who turn inaccurate quarterbacks or struggling quarterbacks or completely washed up quarterbacks like Eli Manning with a catch radius like Odell Beckham. Baker Mayfield had to be as giddy as a school kid on Christmas, right?
Yeah, Odell, like, it's bizarre to me that Odell Beckham could be the problem with the Giants.
Right.
If you sit down and watch him, he's open permanently. Whenever he gets the ball, he makes people miss and creates big plays. He catches passes he should never catch, and he doesn't drop passes. So, like, what are we really doing here with Odell? It's because he dances? Because he has blonde hair? Like what's the actual problem with him? He punched a wall once. And that seems to be what it all comes back to. And Dave Gettleman had a quote earlier this offseason where he said, big players still win in the NFL, which is fine. But if you actually sit down and watch football games, the offensive line is still hugely important. But these small guys are pretty valuable too. Tyreek Hill is pretty valuable in Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes isn't exactly a big dude. He's a small guy with a massive arm. This kind of offense philosophy of forcing, trying to win one specific way, doesn't make sense when you're getting rid of your best players. And especially not when you're getting rid of your best player to keep a guy like Eli, who's massively overpaid, who, to me, again, talking similarly to with the Jackson situation, Eli, a couple of years ago, massively underrated. He gets too much abuse for the Super Bowl rings and people backing up the Super Bowl rings to call him elite. He was never elite, but he was always much better than he was perceived as being as a regular season quarterback. But over the last two seasons, that's not the case. He's just old, and that happens to all of us. Everyone gets old and gets washed up, and for whatever reason, the Giants don't want to admit that with him.
Now, you've watched so much film. I'm curious, and I don't know if you've charted this or if you're going to have to go back and chart this, with the announcement today that non-called pass interference is reviewable, which offenses are going to benefit? Best guess, if you haven't truly studied it, which offenses in the NFL are going to benefit most by that?
It's not something I've studied. I'm trying to be optimistic here because I prefer to get a little bit more diversity in our offenses right now, and it feels like the whole league is trying to throw short all the time now. I hope this leads to teams being a little bit more aggressive pushing the ball downfield, because when you get a defensive back turned around, it's very easy to throw a pass interference flag on him because he can't find the ball. So as soon as his head isn't looking for the ball and you're sprinting in the wrong direction away from the quarterback, the ref only needs to see you touch the receiver, and then it's going to be pass interference. Like, it was funny to me last year, Booger McFarland kept saying on the ESPN broadcast that, oh, why don't you just turn your head around and find the ball? It's easy, it's easy. Like, a defensive back sprinting in one direction, has anyone ever tried to sprint in one direction while turning your head looking the other way? Not only that, you're following a receiver, you're not going to a specific fixed point. It's impossible. So if you get more deep shots, if you get an offense that's more aggressive, like, typically over the past 2 years, the Houston Texans have been great because Deshaun Watson just flings the ball downfield. He will push the ball downfield to Will Fuller, but Will Fuller needs to be healthy. Obviously, he wasn't healthy last year. And DeAndre Hopkins. The other offense that pushed the ball downfield massively last year was in Buffalo, but that was more about Josh Allen not being able to execute his offense, so he would scramble and panic and then just heave the ball deep. So I'm not sure how much that will benefit in terms of pass interference. But
you're listening to Key and Fahey with PreSnapReads.com. You're listening to Key and here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Key, you've obviously done a lot on Lamar Jackson. You've talked about the reaction you get, and I know you've already got this answer, so I'm curious to hear it. What is your response when people bring up the first three quarters of that playoff game against the Chargers?
I threw the ball 9 times. One was a throwaway. One was a miscommunication. One was a slightly overthrown slant pass that turned into an interception. And one was a poor decision throwing deep down the right sideline to Michael Crabtree that went out of bounds. And that's the whole usage of his career and the evidence that he can't throw the ball. It's a bit odd that we would use 9 passes. He was sacked repeatedly in that game. Again, wait, how many left guards do you have in there? Because I've got another left guard. So he was sacked repeatedly during those 3 quarters because that left guard kept getting knocked over by that Chargers defensive line, which is phenomenal. So it was not really about Lamar Jackson. If you take his whole season and you concentrate in those 3 quarters, it just shows that you're a little bit pushing a narrative that you already want to push. Like, if you go back to the first Chargers game he played in, that regular season meeting, he cut them apart. He was phenomenal in that game. So if you kind of invert those two games and put one on a national stage, although that was a national game too, so if you put one in the playoffs and one in the regular season, the narrative around him during this offseason is completely different.
All right, Kian, you've been fantastic. I know our listeners have enjoyed this, but when we have great guests like you, we love to close with a rapid fire, just first thing off the top of the head. You ready to play?
Oh, God, this is terrifying.
All right, who is going to be the quarterback steal of this draft?
I've watched 2 quarterbacks, so Kyler Murray.
Those are the only 2 that you've studied? So you haven't studied Drew Lock or Jarrett Stidham or further on down?
I get to the draft very late because I'm doing all this.
Gotcha.
Which quarterback is going to be hurt the most by his favorite target leaving, Big Ben, Tom Brady, or Eli?
Oh, that's a fascinating question. I'll do it quickly, but Ben Roethlisberger will lose the most as a passer, but Tom Brady is going to lose the most because Rob Gronkowski does so much for the offense in terms of improving the running game, making it easier for them to attack specific teams with different game plans.
Who has typically been, and you can use whatever window you want, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, who is, in your mind, typically the most underappreciated quarterback in the NFL?
Funny enough, I'm going to sound like a homer right now, but Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill.
Well, with your accent, you sound like you're just from the east side of Nashville.
Okay, let's go with Sam Bradford, because he was always underappreciated too, but that was all injuries.
All right. You referenced him a minute ago. Do you think Gronk is the GOAT, or do we actually underrate Gronk?
I think people who kind of want to talk about longevity and talk about the counting stats for the whole career don't realize how good he is. If you look at his efficiency, if you look at his overall skill set, I find it impossible to think anyone could have been better than him.
Why does Aaron Rodgers have only one Super Bowl title?
Mike McCarthy.
That's excellent stuff. Who is
he in studio?
No, it's just us left guards in here right now, Ken. Who is the most overrated quarterback year in, year out?
Year in, year out is tough, but I'm going to say Tom Brady.
What is it like watching a Sunday filled with football in Ireland?
Wait, did you just ask me who's the most overrated quarterback? I said Tom Brady, and we just moved right past it.
We did.
I like that.
Hey, man, this is rapid fire. That's how we do it.
It starts very late. It starts at 6 o'clock in the evening. It goes till 4 a.m., and I'm very, very tired at the end of it.
Listen, Kia, thank you so much for joining us. Fantastic stuff. You've been quite entertaining. Thanks for all that you do. Jay's right. You are a fun follow on Twitter, but we thank you so much for joining us here in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Thanks, guys, and I'm apologizing for insulting anyone.
No worries.
No worries whatsoever. Kian Fahey with PreSnapReads.com joining us. 648-1051 is the number. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.